Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome back to this week's edition of Insights into the Weekly Parsha. We have a double parsha. This Shabbos, action-packed, lots of opportunity for us to learn and be inspired, uplifted together. I'm very thankful to our generous sponsors. Our learning this morning will be dedicated to the loving memory of Anshul Yitzchak ben Aharon ve'Yehudit. His neshama should have an aliyah. It should be a merit, a zechus, for the entire mishpacha, for the entire family. And whenever we have an opportunity to learn Torah barabim together as a community and as a tzibor, and to be able to do so, l'zecher nishmaso, it's an opportunity for us to always be mindful of the precious gift of life and to know how to remember those who are beloved to us and to cherish their memory through the perpetuation of limud haTorah and the study of the values and the ethics that we hold so dear. So thank you so much for your sponsorship and for our learning here this morning. So we know that the Torah in Parshas Kedoshim, in the second of the two Parshios that we will read this coming Shabbos, famously in Perek Yutes, Pasuk Yutches, chapter 19, verse 18, we issue the famous and the very well-known command, V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, to love your fellow, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now obviously the commentaries teach us abound as to what in fact this means. And we know that this last and latter part of this phrase is actually the second part of a sentence. And the first part of the Pasuk, 19:18, tells us, do not take revenge, do not bear a grudge against the members of your people. And the second part is, V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, ani Hashem. I am God. And so therefore the juxtaposition between do not taking revenge, do not bearing a grudge, and to love your fellow Jew, of course, has to be understood. What is the relationship between the first part and the latter part, the relationship that obviously for us to learn via Haftal Reach Kamocha, as Rashi tells us very clearly, Amar Rabbi Akiva, quoting the great Tana, the great sage and scholars at Klal Gadol B'Torah, this is not a Passover, quick, overlooked, meaningless concept. This is something that is unique and special, paramount, significant, fundamental, and foundational. The concept for which it is called is the Klal Gadol B'Torah, this idea, this principle, this mega concept of V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. So the question, of course, is what does this mean? But more specifically, when we read the Pasuk and we are focused our attention on even one singular word, and in this instance, one singular letter, what is and you should have knowledge of, and you shall love your fellow as you love yourself? What does it mean, and? What exactly are the parameters of this all-important, all-encompassing mitzvah that we learn here together? So let's begin by studying a little bit of what, first and foremost, is the opinion of the Ibn Ezra and his commentary on this pasuk. So he explains, V'aldati shehu kimashmo, you should know that sometimes you have Sukkim and Chumash, of course, the explanation for which it is Pshuto Kimashmo. Pshuto Kimashmo means that it is as it sounds, namely, which means Shuyav Atoiv L'Chaveru Kemo L'Nafsho, meaning that one should love his friend in the same way as he loves himself. It's just very simple. You don't have to need too much commentary, too much erudition, too much explanation. It's very, very simple, very straightforward. It's Kimashmo. Pshuto Kimashmo. That's what the Ibn Ezra explains. Now, the struggle and the challenge of what this can mean is that depending on how you love yourself will then mean, by transmission, how you're going to love somebody else, which means if you don't really care so much or value your own self, your own person, the own potential that you yourself have, so then what can be? How will you look at another person? If, in fact, it is true that this precept is predicated, its solution depends on how you feel about yourself. And if you don't feel so great about yourself, your esteem is very low. It's not a high self-esteem. You don't value yourself. You don't think that you yourself are a valuable member of your family, of the Jewish people, of Klal Yisrael. You don't see yourself as successful. You see yourself as a wayward, as a rebellious, a renegade, a maverick. You don't see yourself as such a special person. So then you're going to see everybody in such a way. Many times when dealing with Balabatim, with people in our community and beyond, so sometimes what happens, we realize quick that it's not about somebody having a dispute, a machlokas, a dissension, pirud, and difficulty, a disagreement with somebody else, as much as they're having a difficulty, a disagreement with themselves. That's why, as we know, the Mishnah Perkei Avos famously tells us that when it was Korach that was mounting a rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu, so the Mishnah tells us that who mounted the rebellion is Korach va'adaso. Commentaries explain, what is it, Korach va'adaso? I thought it was Korach and Moshe. What does it mean, Korach va'adaso? The commentaries of Mepharshim explain that what it means is that his machlok is true, as the Torah tells us, the Pesukim are very clear, his rebellion was against Moshe Rabbeinu, but his rebellion was not against Moshe Rabbeinu, ultimately, intrinsically, it was against himself. It was va'adaso. Va'adaso is the symbolism of from within, his own self, his own person, his own low self-esteem. He wasn't happy with his own lot. He wasn't a Samech Bechalka, he wasn't an usher in that sense. Ezuhi usher Samech Bechalka, who is a wise, a wealthy person, rather, a person who is happy with their lot. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, you need two people to be in a war and a battle with each other. Two sides of a disputant, a defendant, a prosecutor. In this case, Moshe Rabbeinu was the innocent bystander. What in the world? You're coming against me. You're coming against Hashem. You yourself aren't happy with your lot. You yourself aren't happy with your position. You yourself aren't happy with what your role is. So what does it have to do with me? Get happy with your role. Be happy with yourself. Be satisfied with Ezuhi Osher Samech Bechelko. Be happy with who you are. Realize the gift and the potential and the possibility. That is what the Ibn Ezra explains, Kimashmo. But to understand ultimately what that's going to mean for all of us truly depends on how we think about ourselves. And so much of understanding this meta principle of V'yahavta l'reacha kamocha, what it means to treat others as you want to treat yourself, begins with thinking about yourself, thinking about not yourself in a selfish way, but thinking yourself in a selfless way, thinking yourself about yourself in a Klal Yisrael, in your potential way. And when a person thinks and begins to have that mindset, so then our ability to interact with and to positively influence and to ultimately have the union of achdus, of togetherness with other people, depends ultimately the success on how we think about ourselves. This is Ibn Ezra's commentary, basic kamashmo, to understand what's happening here. But here is a transition that I think is also just a tool in the shed for how it is that we can think about that. When we think about ourselves, we think about perhaps we're stuck and mired in the quicksand of how we don't see ourselves in the positive light that we otherwise should. Says the Sefer Chinuch, here's a way. Here's a suggestion. Here's a thought. He says that if you treat a person the way you would want to be treated yourself, if you stop for a moment and reflect and think about that, it's true. Maybe I don't think so great and highly of myself. But if I were to think to myself for a minute, everybody feels that they deserve to be treated a certain way. Even if you feel that you're like off the path, you feel that you're just totally not connected to your family, to Klal Yisrael, to the Jewish people, to your workplace, wherever that place is, you have what I think is chapter and verse, great description of how you yourself feel you deserve to be treated, how you would want to be treated. How do you want to be treated? How, when somebody sees you, do you want that person to interact with you? Do you want them to greet you b'sefer panim yafos with a smile, with a countenance of joy and cheerfulness? Do you want that person to be generous, benevolent, kind, charitable, sensitive, empathetic? If that person treats you in such a way as you believe that you are deserving to be treated, then of course, alach es kama v'kama, how you're supposed to treat somebody else. Don't expect somebody else to treat you in a way if you yourself aren't prepared to treat that person. And by the way, you're treating that person in such a way is actually independent from whether or not that person treats you that way. That person might live their whole life interacting with you in a way that's wrong, but that does not ever give you or us or any of us the license because of somebody else's degraded status of knowing what's right and wrong to then ourselves to then have those systems be dependent on somebody else's failings, those other misgivings, those other attributes which are drastically and painfully and woefully lacking. How can I let somebody else systemically redefine what I myself know to be correct, myself that I know to be true? And so therefore, even though it's far more convenient for me to reflect, to mirror, to have this relation of how you treat me is how I'm going to treat you, sometimes the way you treat me is then reflected in a negative sense. If that's how you're going to treat me, then, oh, that's how I'm going to treat you. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, that a person should treat another person in the way that you would want to treat yourself. Meaning, what does that mean? Lishmor Mamona. He gives a few examples. The first is, how would you treat and protect your property, your house, your car, your property, your business? You're not going to let anybody touch your business in a negative way. You're not going to let anybody hop into your Wells Fargo Chase account and then start playing around with your funds. Chalila v'chas. You're not going to let anybody do that. So just like you want yourself to be treated properly, or how you would treat yourself in such a manner, or let's give another example. It says, in any way that you would be harmed, or let's just say speaking well of yourself or well of somebody else, respecting that person, L'shvach v'yachos al kavodo. Now imagine, if you had an opportunity to hear how people speak about you behind your back, so how would that make you feel? So on one hand, if you live properly and upright and just and morally, so then having people speak about you, no one should speak about anybody anyway. But if somebody's going to speak about you behind your back and they're going to talk about what kind of person you are in the positive, praiseworthy sense, gewaldig. So just like you want somebody to speak about you in a positive way, think about how you should then speak about another person. The same way you want other people to treat you, it's significant, it's important. I remember that there was a person who came to me to say something that was not so kind to me about another person. And I said to this person, here's the following. If I see that you speak to me about this other person, I'm pretty confident that you speak to other person unkindly about me as well. I don't want to have an audience with you. I don't want to talk to you about this. If there's a Tawelis and there's a Shalom Bias and there's a, you know, a Hezek, a damaging a situation that needs obvious attention and intervention, so obviously it goes without saying that those are things you have to deal with. But without that, which is usually the case, that that's not the scenario, then obviously it goes without saying. So how would you treat and protect your property? How would you prevent somebody from being harmed? How would you speak will or ill about another person? How would you want somebody to be respected? How do you yourself want to be treated? And this is, says the Sefer Chinuch, which we'll extrapolate, is a paradigm shift. It's a way of having a skill, a tact, an effort, that if you think about how you yourself want to be treated, deserve to be treated, and use that as the paradigm of how you can treat somebody else, so then here is a way to then think about how this mitzvah is manifest. But I think there's something even loftier. There's something even higher. And again, in the Sefer Chinuch, in the explanation of mitzvah 243, what he explains is what I'm going to call the goal of Avos Yisrael. You see, many times we think of this not necessarily as a goal. It's a means, but it's a means towards an end. What's the end? What's the goal? What's the attempt? What's the effort? What's the reason? Why should I do it? Is it just altruistic and kind benevolence that we try to aspire to be like? And the answer, sure, there's a lot of great, tremendous value to just being a good person, a kind person. The Chafetz Chaim famously writes about whether or not a person has the right, has the ability, has the permissibility to speak disparagingly, speak Lashon Hara about an Eino Yehudi, about a non-Jew. And the answer is that while technically speaking, it might be that it's okay, it's permissible, because again, where does this, where's the violation, where's the prohibition? That's with regard to a Yehudi, to another Yehudi, if you speak Lashon Hara about another Jew. Says the Chafetz Chaim, what kind of person do you want to be? You want to speak ill about anybody? If you speak ill, even if it's novel b'rishus harabim, which means if even it's permissible, right? Even if it's permissible, but it's still not allowed, it's not kindly, it's not good, it's not a good attribute. Okay, so technically speaking, it's fine. You know how many people live in the world of technically it's right, but actually it's wrong. So it might be that it's right, that you have the halachic wherewithal and permissibility to do it, but you should know that it's not a good midah. Why do you want to be a person who habituates yourself to speak negatively? If you're going to speak negatively about an Eino Yehudi, the likelihood of you speaking negatively about a Yehudi, it's obviously greater because you've now become a person who's habituated and regular and common to speak negatively of anybody, of everybody. And so therefore, we understand this on a loftier level to think about what the Sefer HaChinuch writes in Mitzvah 243 and explaining what is, I believe, the goal. What is the thought and the big distance, the long distance and the long term? What is the energy for which we try to effort, be minded, mindfulness of effort towards a goal of Avos Yisrael, which is, he explains ultimately, is to create a feeling of peace, of harmony, of matrimony, of achdus, of togetherness among people. That is your goal. What is your end game? The end game is that there should be shalom. There should be shalom bayis. There should be shalom bein, you know, adam lachaveiro. There should be shalom in a community. There should be a shalom in klal Yisrael. The fact that you wear this one type of yarmulke, or that type of yarmulke, or no yarmulke, the fact that you have one type of orientation or a different type of orientation, mehecha tesa, what difference does it make at the end of the day if we're an ish echad, we're a lev echad, we're a people that has one goal, an avas Yisrael, the love that we're supposed to have for each other, and thus have it be manifest, that goodness and the love to the entire world, to create a feeling of peace and tranquility, harmony, shalom, and goodness in the world, that is our goal. And if that's your goal, that motivates what you do. And if it motivates what you do, you think differently before you talk. You think differently before you interact with people. You think differently before you say things that you regret after you just said them. And therefore, this is what he explains, that the shorish ha-mitzvah is yedua. That the basis, says the Sefer HaChinuch, that the basis for the mitzvah, the shorish, the basis, the root, the foundation, the fundamentals of this mitzvah, it's Yidui, he says, it's well known. Which is what, like we said earlier, kemosh yasahu b'chaveiro, that a person will do, ken yasahu b'chaveiro bo. That which you do to another person, you have no recourse but to expect that that person is going to do it to you. Maybe they shouldn't. Maybe you shouldn't act to that person in an unkindly way if that person's unkindly to you. But here's the reality. The reality is that we are mirror reflections of the people that act and interact with us on a regular basis. If someone is unkind, if someone is not sensitive, if a person is not empathetic, if a person is rebellious or negligent, and that person acts in such a way, we tend to, more likely and more often than not, to act towards that person in a reciprocal, similar type of way. And that is the basis, the Shorash HaMitzvah, Kemosh Yasahu B'Chaveiro, Ken Yasa Chaveiro Bo. As it is, that a person will respond to another person is all reflected by how you treat that person, and so on and so forth, and vice versa. And so therefore, Zeh Yesh Sholem Bein HaBrios, you should know, fulfilling this mitzvah, and the fulfillment of this mitzvah is ultimately predicated on this. The goal, fulfilling this mitzvah, is Bein HaBrios, is what will bring peace, shalom, among all of the brios, all living beings. Look what we have in our mitzvos, our commandments that demand of us not only rigorous attention, but scrupulous practice, not just in word, but in deed. We have the ability, uvazayiyah shalom bein abrios, to bring shalom around the world. Start with yourself, extend to your family, extend to your greater family, extend to your community, extend to the world. When you are a repository of shalom, of goodness, of kindness, of benevolence, of ahava, of love, that is a sinas chinam, not a sinas chinam, an ahavas chinam, the remedy to the sinas chinam, which destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. We know we're now in a period of time mourning the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva because of baseless hatred. We have, as the Gemara told us recently in the Daf Hayomi and Maseches Yuma, baseless hatred destroys the Beis HaMikdash. We know that Mipnei Shelo Nahogu Kavod Zeh B'Zeh destroys the Talmidei, great number of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, for which we're mourning to the time of the Sfiras HaOmer. We of course know that the Ahavas Chinam, the baseless love, is the remedy to the baseless hatred. And this is the basis for this mitzvah, which is well known, which is the fact, which is very, very simple and basic, that a person will respond in kind to the way that he is treated. And so therefore, the way you treat others, you can expect to know very clearly how you're going to be treated back and responded to based upon how it is that you treat another person. And so therefore, we have to know that this meta principle is ultimately the opportunity where this mitzvah can and does bring shalom, bring peace to kol habrios, to all of living beings. So this is a very high level. And this is the opportunity and the obligation that we have to actively seek out your fellow to love. It's not just that it's a shei val taisa, but it's a kum asay. Go and be discerning, look and try to perceive. See where it is that you can find somebody. Go with alacrity. The Friedrich Rebbe gave over a teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, or maybe Yitzchak of Radichev and Perkei Avos, as the Mishnah says, any Torah that's learned that is not accompanied by Derech Eretz, with work, and there's different loose translation of what that means, ultimately, it will not be kayam, it will not be long-lasting, it will be nullified. So the Baal Shem Tov says that avoda in this context means having a preoccupied, loving your fellow as you love yourself. Torah im Derech Eretz doesn't mean you go, to some it means you work, you learn. You go to the office, you study Torah, which is, of course, a mega idea in and of itself. But says the Baal Shem Tov, you should know, this is what he's saying in the name of the Berdichever. He says, the Baal Shem Tov says that work here means if you're preoccupied, you're looking to love another person, how can I love that person? It's not easy. We have interactions with people that make it very, very difficult for us to love them. One of the skills, says the Sfasem, is that a person can think about is this heavy dan is kol ha'odom l'chav schos. Now, what does it mean, dan l'chav schos, kol ha'odom? You want to judge everybody favorably. That's a nice idea. How do you do it? So he explains, this heavy dan is kol ha'odom. If you think about the totality of the person, the wholeness of the person. It's true that person might be 20% bad, 80%. If you got an 80% on your examination, you'd be like, ah, mommy, daddy, ima, abba, mommy, tati, ah, I got an 80%. It's a B. It's certainly, if it's satisfactory for you, then it's got to be satisfactory for others. Notwithstanding the obvious fact that you're flawless, You don't have things that need to be overlooked. You don't have imperfections. We all have imperfections. Everybody's imperfections. And before we're quick to identify and to magnify the imperfections of others, let's identify and magnify our own imperfections, work on them, and then we're able to then look at others. If you learn Torah, but you do not love your fellow, your neighbor, you ultimately have no Torah. What does it mean to be obnoxious and rude and crass and morally lost and bereft, you know, deaf to sensitivities that are necessary in a community, but you're steiging in Torah? You're not going to have a kium of Torah. It doesn't mean that you should only be a person who's sensitive and Baal Chesed. Obviously, we have to be that together with Limud HaTorah, and Torah drives it. Learning Torah, living Torah, speaking Torah, teaching Torah in such a way, this is how we live our lives. Ki heim chayenu v'orech yameinu. Right? This is how we live our lives in such a way. You start by loving your spouse. You start by showing it better to your children. You start by expressing yourself to grandparents if you're zochah to have them. You have the ability to do so with people that are in your community, of people that you interact with in your offices and so on and so forth. So we understand that loving others is a kium. It's something that's an avoda with Torah, im derech eretz. The derech eretz in the context, says the Baal Shem Tov, is the active, aggressive, fundamental pursuit of trying to be sure that what have you done today? What am I doing now actively? What have you done today to make it so that you fulfill this mitzvah? Not just if it comes into your lap, but if you've actively tried to aggressively achieve it and to do it in such a way, it's the kiyum mitzvah. Now the smack in the Sefer Mitzvot Kotan, and the Mitzvot Aseh Ches 8, explains something which is also something we have to always remember when we think about another person. It's very similar to the teaching of the Sfasemis, is to see the totality and the wholeness and the all of the person, and then you'll come to be able to then see the goodness in that person, even if there are things that are lacking, derelict, and wrong. But suffice it to say, here's what we have to understand. Think about how every single person is created. Think about what's inside every single person. And this is what the Smack writes, so important. Here's a way for you to have a tool in your shed to be able to see kindness, goodness, Ahavas Yisrael, Ahavas Chinam for other people. Listen to this. You have to understand. Ki betzelem Elokim osa es ha'adam. Because you should know that included in this mitzvah, engendering of peace between person and person, between person and his friend, is you have to understand, why is this klal gadol b'Torah? Why is this a meta principle? Because you have to remember, ki betzelem Elokim nivras ha'adam, betzelem Elokim osa es ha'adam. In the image of God was man created, which means, that means perush, that afo pish einu makpid al kavod atzmo, that even if it is that a person is not particular about their own kavod, they don't keep themselves kind, they don't act kind, they're obnoxious, unruly, unrelenting, and unrepentant. So suffice it to say, says the Smack, that it doesn't matter. You still have a chiyuv, you still have an obligation, you still have to make it your business as a priority, number one, to treat that person, to shower that person with ava. That doesn't mean you'll discipline somebody. That doesn't mean you don't chastise somebody. That doesn't mean you don't put somebody in cheirim. That doesn't mean you don't marginalize bad behavior, poor behavior. But what it does mean is ahavas chinam is paramount. It is significant that afal pi sheinu makbid al kavod atzmo, yesh lo lahakbid al kfoid habrios kavod chavero. You know why? He should be particular about the honor of his friend for one reason. Because he's a shtik elukus. He has God inside him. God wanted to birth him, wanted him to be in this world. There's a shtik elokus. There's an image of God, nivra es ha'adam, betzelem elokim nivra es ha'adam. And the image of God was man created. That means the image of God is inside, rests within, as in the essence of every single person. If this person is unruly, if this person is unrepentant, if this person is so painfully difficult, but there's still godliness in that person. What are we going to do about the image of God that persists, that resides, that remains inside a person who even themselves don't know how to help themselves? They don't know how to get out of their wayward and rebellious way. Now, it's an interesting thing, if you think about this idea, is an interesting application of this requirement, which actually appears in the response of the tshuva of the Radbaz, who actually addresses a unique situation of a case of somebody who sees his fellow who happens to be his enemy. Let's just say you see somebody who is your sworn enemy. Now, what happens in the case of the Radbaz, of course, we know Pasuk in Chumash, that person is struggling to carry an overbearing load, right? you're out on the street, the marketplace, you're out on the rechov, on the way, and you see your enemy and they're really struggling. They're having a hard time. So you have two thoughts. The first thought, which is how many of us think right away, is, aha, gevaldik, struggle. You're my enemy. Let you have a bad day. You've made me have quite a number of bad days. I've had restless, you know, sleepless nights. Let me see you struggle a little bit. Suffer it out, big fella. But that's not the Torah commandment. The fact that you see that this enemy, that this soine, that this, you know, antagonizer of yours is struggling to carry an overbearing load, what does the pasuk say? Kisire chamor soin achor reivetz tachas maso v'chodalta me'azoiv lo ozoiv ta'asoiv imo. What does the pasuk tell us? Very clearly that he is lying under its burden. Would you refrain from helping? It's almost like the Torah is asking like a rhetorical question. Like, obviously, right? Really? You're not going to help him? That's a Jewish concept not to help him? Of course it's not a Jewish concept not to help him. You shall surely, it should be, azov tazov imo, get up and help him. Like, obviously you're going to help that person. Without question, without compromise. Will it be difficult for you to get out of your chair? Maybe, maybe. But at the end of the day, you see, even your sworn enemy, you're not going to go into battle. You're not going to help that person. You're not going to, who that person is struggling, help that person out to the best you can with your resources, with your time, with your sensitivity, with your physical prowess, whatever it is, whatever it takes, whatever the cost, whatever the investment is. Of course, that's what the Torah is saying. V'chadalta me'azov lo, are you kidding me? Are you serious? The Torah is saying, like, really? You're not going to help your friend? You're not going to help that person out? Of course you're going to help that person out. I don't understand. So the Radbaz reaches a very important idea, which we have to understand. This obligation requires a person to help that person, that fellow, even if it's your enemy, an overbearing burden that's placed on its animal. And the Rashba, in one of his responses, claims that it likewise applies as well to the case of a human being. It's not just talking about, you know, let's just say a human being struggling under a heavy load. We'll see that it's not just a heavy load, a burden of a place on an animal. That's the context of the pasuk, that there's a load on the animal of your enemy. What happens, says the Rashba, that we're talking about? Not the load on your animal, it's a load on you, on another person. Let's say the load, right? It's not just you see your enemy struggling, you know, with his animal that has a heavy load, right? It's that the person himself is struggling with the heavy load. So the Radbaz says the same thing, that a person has to assist their fellow carrying an overbearing burden. But listen to this reason. Listen to what he says. He explains the following. He says that this mitzvah applies specifically, as in the context of the pasuk, in the case of an animal. Now, if you think about an animal, which is obviously not to blame, you can't blame the animal. The animal can't be held responsible for the overbearing burden on its back. Animal didn't choose for that burden to be on its back. Since it did not load the cargo, it bears no responsibility for the predicament that it's in. Fine. And so then the people who see the animal have to come to the animal's rescue. So are we coming to the animal's rescue, or are we coming to the person's rescue? Right? Like, which one is it? So a human being, he explains, who cannot carry the heavy load on his back. Now, let's assume it's the person. That person can't carry the load. That person's guilty of piling too much weight on himself. It's his fault. Right? That person, he went into that situation. He made that situation. You know the old saying, you made your bed, you like gotta live with it. You gotta like stick with what you did. That's your circumstance. So therefore, what's the problem? This guy's guilty. So as he is to blame for the predicament, this mitzvah does not apply. It would seem that if in this circumstance of where the animal is not to blame because they put themselves in that predicament, they didn't put themselves in that predicament, and therefore you help the animal, and therefore that's the reason. So who adin, it should then mean that in the case of a human being who did put themselves in that predicament, so then you shouldn't have a mitzvah to help that person. Like, okay, you put yourself in a bad situation. I have to now bail you out. You put yourself in terrible debt. You put yourself in a social, you know, apocalypse. You put yourself in a bad place. My fault? I got to bail you out? The Radbaz contends that no, that's your fault. That's your issue. That's your problem. You deal with that. I got to fish you out of your problem that you put yourself in. So nevertheless, he says, this is the mitzvah. That's what Ahavas Chinam is. Ahavas Chinam actually applies even when it doesn't really make so much sense. Even when it's your fault. Even when you did it to yourself. Even when you continually and perpetually do it to yourself. The mitzvah of Ahavas Yisrael, the mitzvah of Yavta Derecha Kamocha, this concept of Ahavas Chinam, of baseless love to remedy the baseless hatred, which destroys Beis HaMikdash, which 24,000 disciples of the great Rebbe Akiva, they perish, because of that, requires assisting a person even in such a situation. And so in practice, the Radbaz agrees with the Rashba's ruling that one is obligated to help a person struggling with a heavy load. Why? Because that's the mitzvah. That is an explanation and a definition of the mitzvah, not in the easiest part of the definition. It's obviously far easier to have Avos Yisrael, to have Shabbos guests and friendships with people that are easy to talk to. You share philosophical, theological, political, social interactions that are the same. Okay, big deal. Yasher Koyach, that was a layup. That was an alley-oop, and you got no defender standing. You have a goal that you're about to score, but there was no goalie in the defense of that ball. So that's awesome. That's gewaldig. I'm not saying it's not a kima mitzvah. Who am I to say that? That's certainly a mitzvah, but it's certainly not the hard part of the mitzvah. And even when it's a little bit difficult, when the going get tough, a lot of people get going. When the going get tough, we muscle up, we power up, we put ourselves in the fortitude and the spiritual fitness to be able to rise to the occasion, that even in a situation where we help people that even they themselves don't seem to have the merit, the right, they put themselves in such a situation. And so clearly what we understand is what the Radbaz is teaching us is the assumption that we have to appreciate that the mitzvah, the commandment of v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, requires assisting a person, anybody in need, even if they are to blame for the situation, even if a person acts in an irrevocably irresponsible way, which results in a difficult situation for themselves, for their family, for our community, for anybody, we're still required to help them and may not withhold assistance on account of the person's guilt. It's an amazing chiddush. It's a huge novelty. And the basis for this premise, perhaps, is the command to love kamocha, as yourself, as we started. Just as we forgive ourselves for our mistakes, you know, you might have had a day where you did something you shouldn't have done. Maybe you had a day where you did a lot of things you shouldn't have done. And what happens? You look yourself in the mirror, you're like, you know what? You're not such a bad guy. Really, I know that I didn't do such great things. But at the end of the day, we're very, very, very super mega uber quick to overlook and forgive our own mistakes. And to overlook the things that we ourselves were unscrupulous. But when it comes to other people, magnifying glass, resentment, we hold on, harboring, that's a big one. We harbor resentment. We hold on to, we lock in chain, we bolt it, right? Keep it forever in the annals of history. And that's how it goes. We forgive ourselves. As the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, a person who's Malvar Al-Midosav, who's quick to forgive others, the Gemara Shem is quick to forgive us. How precious that commodity is, how unbelievably significant and uber important this concept is. If we're quick to forgive others, if we'd be so quick to forgive others, then we're quick to forgive ourselves. I think that things would be very, very different in our world. That's what would be kamocha. Think about how you yourself would want to be treated. Think about how you do treat yourself. Now, I'm not talking about situations where you don't treat yourself well. You should treat yourself well. You should demand of yourself. You should want things for yourself. B'teres Hashem tamima. Just as we forgive ourselves, so to speak, and endeavor to solve problems which we created through our own irresponsible and our own mindless activities, we are commanded similarly, likewise, with the same gusto to relate to the others the same way. If somebody falls into hardship due to their own mistakes, so therefore we have to be as forgiving of his mistakes as we are of our own and lend him and be there for him, for her, the assistance that person needs despite that responsibility. So what we've done here is we've understood in the context of realizing what this means. Lo sikom, lo sitor es b'nei amecha, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, v'ahavta zeklal gadol b'Torah, amar Rabbi Akiva. What does it mean? And what are the parameters? The Ibn Ezra k'mashmo, Sefer Chinuch. You should think about the person, how you treat them, the way you yourself would want to be treated. There's something even loftier as we understand, which is the concept of understanding what the goal is. And the goal is there should be shalom b'nei abrios. There should be the bringing of everybody together. Understanding what the magnanimous component of what this mitzvah ultimately is. And so therefore, the very high level is the Friedrich Rebbe explained, the teacher of the Baal Shem Tov, to the Berditchever, that the Perkei Avos, that you should seek out its Torah im derech eretz, that without it, each of which are nullified, are non-existent. You have to seek it out. You have to be active, to be aggressive, you have to be a tumultuous sense of dedication towards it. Work means a preoccupation with being engaged and trying to seek out that love. We can start with your spouse, you start with your children, start with your grandparents, grandchildren, you start with your mishpach, you start with your community, start with people you might or might not know. And this is, of course, is the smack in the Sefer Mitzvot Aseh. Ches tells us that one of the ways to think about it, like the Sfas Emes says, kol adam l'chavschos, but think about B'Tselem Elokim Nivra Sa'odam, that everybody, that afo pisha enu makbid al kovod atzma yeshlo lahakbid al kvod chavero. Think about that every person, if the Ribbono Shel Olam thought that it was important for that person to be born, to be created, to have a shtick elokus within every person, then how much more so than we ourselves, of course, who are we to judge otherwise? Very important. And of course, this Tshuvas HaRadbaz, thinking about the donkey and the burden of the soine, of the enemy, and the obligation for which a person is obligated to help that person, that even if it is in a situation where that person's responsible, not like the animal who's not responsible, we help them. It's not that's the only reason why we do it. We help a person even if they're irresponsible, even if they put themselves in that situation. Not that we hold back. Why? Because kamocha, just as we forgive others for our mistakes, ourselves rather for our mistakes, we should forgive others. If a person overlooks the iniquities and the troubles and the transgressions of our own selves, then we should be so quick to do it of others. And when we do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu overlooks the iniquities and the shortcomings and the failings and the fallings of our own selves, something that we have to think about on a very, very significant level. I'll just end this morning's talk by sharing with you a story that is fairly well known, but really hammers this point very, very deeply into the conscience, into our hearts, into our souls, which we think about how much influence we can have, how much willingness there is when we reach out to others and we express ourselves and we reach out in a sense of extending our hands, our hearts, our homes, our goodness, our smiles. Rabbi Pesach Kron is famous to say a smile is a small curve that sets a lot of things straight. When you reach out to somebody with your countenance, is when your makabel is called adam b'sever panim yafos, with a simcha, with a smile, with a welcome, with warmth, with ahavas Yisrael, you can never imagine the nitzchius, the eternity that is achieved as a result of when you act towards somebody. There's a little boy, the story is told, in Bnei Brak, unfortunately, who left Yiddishkeit. And that person, this young fellow, he moved in with an irreligious cousin somewhere else in Eretz Yisrael. And unfortunately, things got worse. And eventually, this fellow, he became engaged to a non-Jewish girl. And it was very painful. His irreligious cousins, you know, his cousin was very upset and was unable to convince him of this engagement. He wanted very desperately that he should break the engagement, but he wasn't able to. Now, he wasn't able to convince him to do that. But what he did, this cousin of his was able to convince him that basically, since he would be cutting ties with the Jewish people, if he makes this marriage true, and with his family, so here's what he should do. He should go home one time. He should tell his parents, face his parents. He should interact with his parents and tell them what his plans are. And so even though this kid was reluctant, he said, you know what? I probably should. Even if it's a last hurrah, if it's a last encounter, if it's the last engagement, so he agreed that he should do it. And he calls up his folks, his parents, and he invites himself to come to their house for Shabbos, but to come on his terms. Again, he was irreligious. He was Michal Shabbos. Friday night was Nebuch. He was out on the merpeset. He was out on the porch. He was smoking. And Shabbos day, again, he was on his iPhone. He was totally, totally uninterested in Shabbos. But he was there. The Shabbos afternoon, of course, his parents were so happy, elated. He's going to come to the house. And he's going to be there. Shabbos afternoon, his father approached him and invited him to come to a shir that he was going to. Shir, he's thinking to himself, are you seriously? Yeah, I should go to a shir. You know what I'm doing Friday night? You know what I did Shabbos day? I could tell you all the scores. I could tell you the updates on Fox News, CNN. I could tell you ESPN.com. I could tell you everything what's cooking. I should come to a shir Shabbos afternoon. So who's giving the shir? Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Livracha. The Gadol Hador passed away a few years ago. Now, what's shocking is that this young fellow, he decides and agrees to go. He'll go with his father. He's not going to play on his iPhone while he's there, but he'll go. He had maybe some morsel, some little remnant of that which remains of Kabed Es Avicha, and he agrees that he's going to go. And after this year, his father brings him over to Steinman to say good Shabbos, and he says to the Gadol Hador that unfortunately his son is not Shomer Shabbos. And maybe he whispered in his ear, maybe he said it to the Gabbai. But Rav Steinman knew that he's not keeping Shabbos. So what happens? There's an encounter of the father, the son, Rav Steinman. So Rav Steinman looks at this young boy and he says to him, tell me, how long are you not keeping Shabbos for? How long has it been? So the boy says, 2 years. 2 years. Looks at the Gadol Hador and tells him. Says Rav Steinman, and during that time, have you ever had a moment or two or three or more? Have you ever had a hirhor tshuva? What's hirhor tshuva? Hirhor tshuva, thoughts of repentance. Have you ever, in those 2 years, had thoughts of repentance ever? So he looks at the Gadol Hador and says, yes, four times. Four times, I've thought about my life, I've thought about Hirhur Tshuva. Four times. Wow. And how long, he says, did that Hirhur Tshuva, how long did that ask? How long did that last? How long were you thinking about each time? He said, 10 minutes, approximately. 10 minutes! So he says to him, the Gadol Hador is only a Gadol Hador can. And so he says it comes out four times, 10 minutes. You mean to tell me that for 40 minutes, During the last 2 years, you were in the matzav, you were in a circumstance, you were in the category of b'malkam shabali tshuva, oimdim, ein tzadikim gemurim, yecholim la'amoid. The Gemara Maseches Brachos says that in a place that bali tshuva, that those are repentant, those people stand in a place that afilu, that even the tzadikim gemurim, the utterly and completely, totally righteous, will never be able to stand. You mean to tell me for 40 minutes you're in the category of bali tshuva? So that you should know, I'm jealous of you. The Gadol Hador looks at this boy and says, I'm jealous of you. You're Mahar HaTshuva, 40 minutes, Arbaim Dakot. You're in a Mokum of Bokum Shabali Tshuva, Omdim Ein Sadikim Gamurim, Yecholim Lamod. You're in such a place. I'm jealous of you. Good Shabbos. This boy is totally taken aback. He goes home. He returns back to his cousin's house. And the words of Rishtaim and the Gadol Hador, they left him no peace. He was up at night. He was tossing and turning. His life, he felt, needed to be reconsidered. The engagement was broken from that moment. And from there, in that spirit for which he was now agitated and now turning things around in a spirit of ahava, his life turned around. Today, this fellow is a Baruch Hashem Shomer Torah Mitzvos. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. He's married, has a family, and he lives in the world of a Torah community as a Ben Torah. It's gewaldic. But here's the Hisafa, here's the end of the story, which is tremendous. He was asked what made him go to the Shi'ur. Why did he go to the Shi'ur? At night he's smoking cigarettes. The next day he's on his iPhone, the Shabbos Kodesh, was Tutzach Harayin. Why did he go to the Shi'ur? How do we understand it? Why did he go to the class with his father? So listen to what he said. When he was asked this question, he said that when he was but in Kita Dalad in Cheder, he was in Kita Dalad, he was a young boy. His class went to Rav Aaron Leib Steinman. And they went, he was living in Bnei Brak, and they went, as many classes in Cheder do, they went to be tested. They went to have a feher from the Gadol Hador. Let's hear a little psukim from Chumash, let's hear how you daven, let's hear something. And what happened? The Rebbe had obviously requested an easy feher, an easy test. And the boys were asked very, very simple questions. Here, you had a chance to shine. So that's how they prepared for this day. Now each boy, when they answered a question that the Rebbe asked, the Gadol Hador asked, they got a candy from Rav Aaron Leib Steinman. Imagine you get a candy from the Gadol Hador. So what happened? This boy, it was his turn to come. And when he came into the presence of the Gadol Hador asked him a question, but he didn't know the answer. He pashut did not know the answer. So Rav Aaron Leib asked him an easier question. Again, he didn't know. And so the Gadol Hador asked him an even easier question, which he did not know. Three questions he did not know. Now, when the feher was over, everybody had a candy except for him. As the boys were respectfully filing out of the room after having spent that time with the Rav, so you should know Aaron Leib Steinman, he motioned to him. He said to the boy, come over to me. He said to the boy in Torah and in Yiddishkeit, you should know, it's the effort, it's the amelus, it's the reward for which effort, not results, is celebrated. It's not about reaching the goal, it's about thinking about the goal, it's about wanting to reach that goal. It's the efforts, it's the amelus, it's lefum tsara agra, it's the effort, not the results. All the other boys put in effort for one question, so I gave them one candy. But you put in the effort for three questions. So you are getting three candies today. And with a smile, he handed him three candies. And that is why, when his father invited him to go to that Rav's Shir, that's why he went. Because he never forgot what Steinman said to him and the three candies that he held in his hand. When you think about another person in a positive way, inspire another person to be the best that they could possibly be, despite their limitations, despite the hardships, the struggles. You can't imagine how much we can possibly build not only people, families, but generations. The Dore Doros. It's Biyadeinu, it's in our hands. Let's think about this meta principle, this meta mitzvah, and let's understand and inculcate its value deep inside and into our core. We should merit to understand this principle, not just in word, but in practice and in deed. And in so doing, I thank you all, for those of you here with us live, And for those of you who are with us in the Zoom room, and for those of you who are tuning in via the portal of Facebook Live, I thank you all. I wish everybody a wonderful rest of your day Thursday, a wonderful Erev Shabbos, and a beautiful Shabbos Kodesh. Wishing everybody a happy, healthy, and a holy day. Thank you so much for tuning in.